Psalms 119, verse 81. Let me go to Lord, word of prayer, then we'll go through this portion of Scripture. Father, you've surely been good to us. We thank you for another wonderful day you allowed us to have. Thank you for the service we had this morning. And Lord, be able to gather here tonight. Lord, be able to sing those songs to give you praise. And Lord, to encourage us or remind us, Lord, there's a set time in this world that we have to use it for you. Lord, I pray that you would help me with preaching and teaching your word tonight. I want to be a blessing. I pray that you would help me to rightly divide it, that this message would strengthen us, encourage us. Lord, you know the need of every heart. And Lord, I surely don't know the need that everyone has. And Lord, I just find it amazing. And it's a blessing that you desire to use me. And I pray that you'd use this unworthy servant tonight as only you can. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So he's been going through the book of Psalms. We're in Psalms 119. And Psalms 119, we know, is the longest chapter in the Bible. And almost every single word that's in this Bible is the very words of God. And what we saw in Psalms 119 so far is every single verse in this chapter had something reference to the Word of God, right? It talked about His commandments and etc. Now we're going to come to the section where this first time out of 176 verses, there's actually one verse that you could see here at verse 84 that does not have something in it, right? How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me, right? So this is the first one. All the other ones you could see, there was something, even in verse 81, you could see thy word, verse 82, thy word, verse 83. Statutes, verse 85, thy law, verse 86 is commandments, verse 87, you can see precepts, verse 88, you can see thy testimonies. So this is the first one as we get up to 80, verse 84. I can't remember if there's two or three, but as we go through, my brain will remember and we'll see it that's there. Remember one time I heard that, someone said that. It was every single verse in here has something of God's word in it. And I remember I went through and looked and I was like, well, that's not the case, you know. And I think it's one of those things that have been, someone has said and people just continue to pass it down. That's why it's best to look and see what's in the Bible. And begin. Don't misunderstand. This is the very words of God. It's just this verse doesn't have something like thy word, thy testimonies, statutes, precepts that's in it. So if you didn't know that, well, then you could see it yourself and now you know it. But look here at verse 81 through verse 85, and then we'll get to the rest of it later. It says, my soul fainteth for thy salvation. Sometimes that word salvation can refer to salvation as eternal life, but here he's referring to deliverance. He's referring to deliverance. David, I believe it was David that was here, the psalmist, he's talking about he's in the midst of a trial. He's in the midst of a trial, and as he's in this midst of the trial, he's talking about the proud. We'll get there in a little bit, but you can see the proud he's referring to as the ungodly, the wicked that are persecuting him. And as he's going through this trial, he's saying, my soul fainteth for thy salvation. He was looking forward to God delivering him. This was really hurting him. He says, but I hope in thy word. Even though David is hurting, David's going through this trial, David is thinking, you know, I'm wearied. I just felt like I can't go on. The reality is this, David's hope or confidence, sometimes hope, we see the definition something different today, but hope, confidence is in thy word. David still had confidence in God's word. This trial did not take him away from God. Now, sometimes trials can take us away from God. It's not God's will, not God's desire. It's because of our flesh. We may blame God or say, well, why didn't God do this? Well, God has a reason. God has a reason for every single trial that you go through in life. Every single one. Some of them you bring it upon yourself. You have no one to blame but yourself of why you have a trial. Amen? Yes, we know it's all because of sin, right? The sin that's in the world. This world is not fair. Don't ever tell someone this world is fair. It's not. This world is not fair. Amen? This is not the world that God wanted you and I to live in. This is the world we chose because it's filled with sin. But anyway, he says, my hope is in thy word. His confidence. Confidence. So a trial could be something you brought upon yourself, right? Some action that you did. Trial could come by because of a chastening. God bringing it in a chastening. Other times you think about trials can come. God's using it for good. To strengthen you. And we'll go through here and we could see this trial that David went through. More of the meat of the message would be at the second part of it. His confidence did not change. He knew that this is the very words of God. Amen? I have been, I think through the years, I have had people try to ask me questions. Sometimes I think people have tried to ask questions not because they really wanted an answer, but they were trying to find fault. And I have had someone say things to me in the book of Hebrews, and they think they finally found a verse that they were going to stump me with and say that you don't have eternal life. And they would go to that reference that was there, and they would bring up this verse. And I would I remember studying it through and looking at it. And you know, the reality is, the verse that they thought would prove that you can lose your salvation was a verse I saw that gave me confidence to know for sure, you can't. Amen? And it's a wonderful thing. Can I tell you, I have confidence in this Word of God. I know that this is the very words of God. I know God never compromises His Word. I know what's here is truthful. Doesn't matter what I go through, what trials I go through in life, this Word is true. And I have faith in it. And that's what David is saying. He goes on and says, my eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? When wilt thou comfort me? Here it is. He's making a request. So if you think about human, right? We have emotions. We have feelings, right? We have this old sin nature that's there. We have the Spirit of God that dwells in us. And the reality is this. Sometimes we could be in the midst of a trial where we will pray or ask the similar thing to the Lord and say, Lord, when are you going to deliver me? When are you going to help me to get out of this trial? Lord, when's the end coming? Amen? Now, again, David had confidence, right? He says, my eyes fail for thy word, right? He's waiting for it, right? He's maybe his faith is starting to waver a little bit, but here it is. He says, when wilt thou comfort me and help me, deliver me? Can I tell you, sometimes when you're in a trial, you can feel like you're weary. Sometimes you can get in a trial and you feel like you're faint. Sometimes you're in a trial and you're thinking that you can't go any further. It's in those times where you have to realize you need God so much more. Amen? The reality is we need God all the time. Sometimes without the trials, we forget how much we need God. And what happens, because we're not in that trial, the reality is we may take things for granted. We don't spend as much time with the Lord like we should, because things just seem... And then we get to the trial. What was it? It may bring you to the knees. It may get to the place where you reevaluate things and say, what am I doing? What am I going in the right direction? And here is David that's saying this. My eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? Lord, when am I going to be delivered? He goes on and says, I have become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. Now, there's a different commentary. You go out there and read that. I'm not 100% sure that's here. And some of them said that they had some bottles of the old time, and it could have been something different than glass or whatever. And they talk about they could hang it up, and you know, the smoke that could come up and could change the different color of it's there. Not 100% sure, but I just know this, that when you have smoke, it's never a good thing. And you think about it, if you feel like it was what he's saying, I am become like a bottle in the smoke, right? If you have smoke that's coming up, that's never a good thing, right? The smell of it. Now, I love the smell of wood. Oh, I do. Amen. At wintertime, when I'm outside and someone has a chimney, I love that smell. Where I grew up, they used to have, I think it was called cherry wood. It wasn't like a cherry tree, but cherry wood. When you split it open, and it was like you could smell it. Oh, it smelled really good. And I remember, because we didn't have much money, we didn't know, you know, you could do some great things probably with that cherry wood. But they would take it and they would put it in the, was it the wood stove that we had? Oh, the smell of that. Oh, it was just good. He's not talking about that, right? He's talking about, he feels like he's in this bottle and the smoke that's coming up. And the reality is, that's not a good feeling, right? It could hurt, right? Maybe he's saying about his eyes, and when smoke gets into your eyes, that's not a good feeling, right? It hurts. Maybe because he's crying, he feels like maybe if there's smoke that's going up and you have something and it could, you know, weigh on you. You know, some people, you may run into them and they may be 40 years old, 50 years old, but they look like they're like 92 years old because they have been through some hard, hard times, right? Here it is. He's talking about this, and he says, "Yet do I not forget thy statutes." I'm in the midst of this trial. It's surrounding me. You think about smoke would surround, cover, right? It's surrounding me. But Lord, I have not forgotten. I have not, yet do I not forget thy statutes. I know your word is true. From the beginning to the end, everything in this Bible is true. And he says, I have not forgotten, not forget thy statutes. Have you ever had a trial that got you to the place where you may have forgot about God's promises? Do you know the devil's goal is to get you to forget about God's promises to you? To get you to get your eyes away from this book? To get you to not remember or run to Scripture? One of the best things you can do in the midst of a trial is go to the very words of God. Amen? Folks, don't forget about this book. I mean, God has given us His Word that can help you through the midst of a trial, through anything that you're going through. I mean, you have the very words of God. And there's been times where I have been through trials or hard trials where I would run to the Scripture and hold on to a very promise that God has given me. You know, it's kind of like, you know, hold on to it, right? Like a mother, sorry, if on the thing, it's probably hitting that, right? You think about a mother that would take up that child of theirs, and they hold on to their child, you know, and maybe they didn't see it, amen. It was pretty interesting when Chris came in this morning, and little me was like, Day, got all excited, right? And picked her up that's there. But you think about it, you have the precious words of God, amen. I mean, hold on to it. Cherish it. Here it is. He's in the midst of this trial. He feels like this trial is like the smoke that's coming up in this bottle and it's weighing on. It's getting on. He said, but I have not. I do not forget thy statutes. Verse 84, he says, how many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. Now we can see the persecution that David is speaking of here. He refers to the proud and he says, which are not after thy law. So he's talking about those that are ungodly. They're persecuting. I talked about that this morning. You're always going to have persecution of believers. You're always going to have it. They that live godly shall suffer persecution. The reason why people persecute you when you live for God, it's not because of you. It's because of Him. And it's because you're surrendered, you're trying to live for God, and they don't like it. You know why? It brings conviction to them. And because it brings conviction to them, they don't like it. They don't know how to handle it. Why? It's because of their sin. And sometimes what will happen is they'll act up. They may yell at you. They may make fun of you. Don, they may try to push your buttons. You know why? Because if they push your buttons and you respond in a bad way, then they can say, aha, right? Now, don't misunderstand. None of us are perfect. Amen. We need to watch, have temperance. That means you want to find out if you have self-control. Hold your tongue. Amen. See how you are with your words. If you can control your tongue, you have temperance. You can't control your tongue, you don't have temperance. Amen? That's how you can find out if you have temperance or not. But anyway, what we can see is he's saying the proud, what is it? They have digged pits for me. So you think about that as visual, you know, as I'm looking out here into this grass field that we have over here. You imagine there's someone that built pits that you could fall in. That's what David is saying. Maybe not an actual pit per se, but they built traps. They built traps to try to get David to fall into them. Maybe there's traps of sin, and maybe there's traps of other things to try to get him away from God. Here it is. They did these things to what? To try to destroy David. And David is wondering, Lord, how many days do I have? You know? Do you know God is in 100% control? 100% control. You may say, well, if that's the case, why does wickedness happen? Because God is allowing it. God has given us a free will. If God stopped all sin, the reality is that we would all be gone. Amen? So God gave us a free will. And there's sometimes God, you think about it, God allows things to happen. There comes a point where God says, that's enough. And God will handle it. We see that in the book of Exodus, where it was talking about Pharaoh. Pharaoh came to the place where he crossed the line. He hardened his heart, and then God hardened his heart. He crossed the line. There was nothing Pharaoh could do. And what was it? He went from a man that had, think about it, authority, wealth. I mean, Pharaoh could have had anything that this world could offer, right? And what was it? The reality is he went against God. He went against God's people. And Pharaoh ended up, they destroyed Egypt, you know? That even the magicians were like, hey, look, this place, look what's happening. And God would show mercy as he allowed one judgment after another judgment after another judgment to say, look, here's my mercy. There was a time where I think the wheat he brought, I think it was hail, that he brought hail that was there, and it destroyed the crop. But there was some crop that didn't come up yet. It wasn't destroyed. That was the mercy of God. If Pharaoh would have just said, all right, no, go worship God, they could have enjoyed the wheat. But instead, because his heart was hardened, he rebelled against God. You think about Nebuchadnezzar. I mean, Nebuchadnezzar was a king. You think about the wealth that he had. He goes into his palace and he looks around. And he's like, hey, this is what I have built. And God Almighty humbled him, and he went on all fours, amen? Was on all fours for a season that was there. Can't remember how long it says. But he went for that place, and then his understanding came back to him. And he looked up, and he realized there is a God of heaven, and he puts in the power, and he takes out. Amen? Folks, here it is. David is talking about this, and he speaks about the wicked. And he's looking forward to that. Lord, when are you going to judge them? Amen? When are you going to get those that are persecuting going against me? Folks, can I tell you, there is a day coming in this world where those who mock God and those against believers, they're going to get what they want. They're going to get a world where we are taken out. What the Bible talks about is the rapture of the church. And they're going to get a world where we are taken out, and ultimately God is going to bring his wrath on this world. And when God brings his wrath on this world, can I tell you the judgment that's going to happen on this world is going to be a judgment that has never been seen before. The Bible tells us, if you go through and look in the first 3.5, that tribulation period is 7 years. In 3.5 years, half of the world's population will be destroyed. So if you have 8 billion people, 4 billion people will die in 3.5 years. You think about what that will be as destruction. They actually reject God and are going to get what they wanted. But the reality is they didn't understand that. Amen? Now, don't misunderstand. During that tribulation period, there's still a multitude that will get saved. There will be a multitude. But there will still be a multitude that will still reject, even though they know it's God that's bringing judgment, they will still reject him. Here it is. He's asking the question, Lord, when you want to bring? Folks, can I tell you, in God's timing, he will bring judgment. Amen. Just allow God. God's way is always best. Amen. Then look here as we get to the second part, verse 86 to 88. It'll be a second part of this, where it says, "All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me." Here's David. Let me read these and then we'll go back to it. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep thy testimony of thy mouth. Here was a day they persecuted him wrongfully, right? It wasn't because something David did wrong. It's because he was living for God. Sometimes I forget about that, Mark, that when someone persecutes me, I think it's me, right? And it's not me, you know, but it's him. It's him that they hate. Now, they hate me because I love him, but the reality is it's not me. It's Jesus Christ. They hate him. Amen? And here it is, David is saying this, right? They persecute for me wrongfully. You didn't do anything wrong. But the reality is they hate you. They hate me. He said they had almost consumed me upon earth. It didn't look good for David. David was thinking, oh no, I may not make it. You go back in the Old Testament, you see at times where Saul and his men would go after David. And it would probably look like David was going to lose. But then God would just perform a miracle. Amen. The time Saul went into a cave and David was in that same cave. I mean, what's the chances? Well, with God, that's God's plan. Amen. God worked it out to prove that David wasn't out to destroy Saul, King Saul. And other times where David went into the camp, they were pursuing him. And, you know, he took his spear that was there. He had the other guy with him that took the spear. What I'm saying is this. There were times it appeared David was saying, they almost consumed me. But I want you to see there were some things that through this persecution, as David asked God for help, we see that down at verse 86. There were some things that David said in the midst of this persecution as he's going through this in verse 86 to 88. And I think it's just wonderful that we can think about during times of persecution, during times of trials. First thing I want you to think about, he said that how God's word is faithful. All thy commandments are faithful, right? You're in the midst of a trial. Look at what David was saying. Thy word is faithful. Amen? God's word is faithful. God's word is always true. You know what that means? So when you're going through a trial and you find a promise in the very words of God and you hold on to that promise, you can rest assured that that is always true. What was that one? Oh, my Lord. Sometimes my brain goes, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. Amen? Putting God first. Amen? God said he'll take care of you. Isn't that a wonderful promise? God's saying, if you put me first, I will provide. Now again, Ms. Alma, you didn't say he'll give you steaks and lobster, right? I had lobster when I was in Boston, and I didn't really like it. Amen? It was just, you know, I'd rather have a steak. You give me a nice prime rib, I'll eat a nice prime rib. I think that's what we got at that one restaurant? Was it prime rib? Filet. It was a filet. You give me a nice filet, amen. I'll take that over anything, amen. Praise the Lord. That stuff was so good, amen. It was just makes me hungry again, amen. How'd I get on that? Must be hungry. No ideas about McDonald's, amen. McDonald's is not a filet, amen. We from it, amen.
But happy with a filet.
Yeah, there you go. What do we see? He was saying how God's word is faithful. God's word is faithful. Hold on to a very promise of God. Amen? Hold on to a very promise of God. What else do we see through these verses? God wasn't to blame. He didn't blame God. He says, quicken me after thy loving kindness. In the midst of a trial, as he's being persecuted, it seemed like he was surrounded by others. You know, smoke that's going up. He was trying to give a visual that's there. He's consuming him that's there. God wasn't to blame. Loving kindness, tenderness, mercy. You know? Oh, can I tell you, people of this world, and unfortunately sometimes Christians, will blame God for things. Why are you blaming God? When's the last time you blamed the devil? You know? It baffles me, Doris. Don't blame God for everything, but they never blame the devil. You know? He is a liar. You know? When Job's friends were there, you know what was it? It was like they blamed God. God didn't do it. The devil did it. The devil's the one that brought the things that happened there. It wasn't God. Yes, God allowed it. Folks, look here. He says, quicken me after thy loving kindness. He did not blame God for the trial. Stop blaming God. God is good. God is love. Yes, God will bring judgment. Yes, God is holy. Yes, God is merciful, full of compassion. God will not quit the wicked, right? But the reality is this. David did not blame God. Realize who God is. Stop blaming him. Amen? God is good. What else do we see through these verses? He did not allow the trial to take him away from God. He did not allow the trial to take him away from God. He says in the verse of 87, but I forsook not thy precepts. Right? He didn't allow that trial to take him away from God. You do know the devil is a roaring lion. I'll get to that verse. Going about seeking whom he may devour. Bubba, you know, it's the devil's desire to get you away from God. And he will do whatever he can to get you far away from God. Now that there's someone that's talking about God, you can rest assured he's going to be double time on you. Right? Folks, what I'm saying is this. Why? Because he doesn't want people to go to heaven. He wants people to stay lost and go to hell. He doesn't want your life to be a testimony to bring others to Christ. His goal is to bring a trial to you, just like he did to Job, to stand in the corner and say, he's going to curse God. And when he doesn't hear you curse God, he'll find some other excuse to try to bring some other trial in your life. David did not allow the trial, even though it said it almost consumed him as a smoke that's in a bottle or he felt like it was in a bottle with the smoke that was going up. It was surrounding him. He was persecuted that's there. He didn't allow that to take him away from God. Allow it to be in our hearts. That we would say, you know what, Lord, I need your help to help me to be faithful. Be faithful until the end. There was a parable that's in the book of Luke. And the Lord used the illustration of a judge, an unfaithful judge that didn't care about God. And this lady came to the judge and would constantly go to the judge and say, will you help me? Will you help me in this situation? And this lady constantly got to the judge, where the judge got to the place where he's like, you know, even though I don't fear God, you're constant coming to me, I'm going to have judgment, right? I'm going to do something about this, man, because you keep on bugging me. And God said, did you hear what the unjust judge said? Right? And then he was saying how he would help us, right? And then at the end of that parable, he said something about when he come. He said, shall I find faith? Shall I find faith? Now, the Bible tells us that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. That means, and we know there's a rapture, and if there's a rapture, we know as believers we're all taken out, right? God's not saying there's a rapture of no one leaving, right? The rapture is going to deliver us, amen? We're going to be taken out. How many Christians are there in the world? I don't know, amen? I know I'm one, amen? But the reality is, I don't know, maybe there's a million Christians or millions or I don't know how many Christians are is in this world. Amen? God knows. But what he was saying is faith, not those that are saved per se, but those who are truly following. Because at the beginning of it, he says, my brain goes too fast. So let me see if I can find it real fast here. Just bear with me real fast. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And at the end of that verse, he says, I tell you, at the end of verse 8, right in the middle, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? But the first part he's saying about praying and not to faint, right? You'll find that in Luke chapter 18, right? Faith. People who are truly trying to follow God. People that aren't compromising. People that are trying to live for God. And can I tell you, people that are true, I'm not talking about Christians, right, per se. I'm talking about those who are truly following. Yes, you're a Christian, amen. But you can be a Christian and backslidden. You can be a Christian and not following God like you should. I'm talking about Christians that are truly following. It seems like it's getting less and less. And what I mean by following is this whole book, amen. I'm not talking about bits and pieces. I'm not talking about smorgasbord Christianity. I'm talking about this book here is the very words of God is saying, hey, this is going to direct and lead me. Amen? I believe everything that's in this book, and that's what I'm going to try to follow. Amen? Yes, there's some parts that are done away with, has been fulfilled in the law. So that means you can eat shrimp if you want to. You can suffer through lobster if you want to. That's up to you. That's your choice. Shall I find faith? Bible tells us there'd be a great following away. So many people that are turning away. I want to say, Lord, please help me. I remember the first time, I don't know, when I read that after I got saved, looked at it, and I was like, Lord, please. Well, I want to be one of them. You know, I want to be one of them that's just following. Amen? And now I know, yes, I need to do my part. But I know I need him. Amen? And that's what you do. You rely on him. Amen? But anyway, he did not blame God. He didn't allow, and then he didn't allow God to take him away from the trial. And the other thing I want you to see is this. He vowed to keep God's word. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep thy testimony of thy mouth. Right? That's the last verse there, verse 88. So shall I. Right? He's not saying, I have kept, right? Even though there was other places he's saying that. Here he's saying, so shall I keep, right? That's future. That's a vow. He's making a vow to God and saying, Lord, I want to do this. So shall I keep thy testimony of thy mouth. Lord, I'm making a vow. I want to keep your word. John, what was David going through at this time? Do you remember? I know you're writing something. What was God? What was David going through? What was he in the midst of at this time? He was in the midst of a what? Give us a T.
Trial, but
yeah, there you go.
Which one?
We don't know which one, right?
Do you know which one?
What's that?
Do you know which one?
God didn't tell me, so I have no idea.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah, there you go. I don't know. When I get to heaven, I'll ask David, and David, he can tell me. Amen.
I wanted to make sure I wasn't missing something.
No. You had it right. So apologize there, but he got it. He's in the midst of a trial. He said this trial almost consumed him. He felt like he was in a bottle with smoke going around surrounding him, right? He felt like wearied and faint. And what did this trial do? It strengthened him. Amen. Instead of Doris saying, I'm not going to follow God anymore. No. He made a vow. He made a vow that said, so shall. Amen. He made a vow. What the devil was hoping that David would do, he didn't do. He was here in the midst. He's telling the Lord, he says, so shall I keep thy testimony of thy mouth. He made a vow. What was it? Lord, I love you so much. I just want to keep on serving you. I just want to keep on following you. Can I tell you, God allows trials in your life to strengthen you. God allows trials in your life to get you to that place where you get on your knees and pray and you rely on Him so much and you love Him so much and you realize the loving kindness of God and His mercy and you're saying, Lord, I just want to follow you. David didn't say, when you get me out of the trial. He was still in the trial. Amen? Folks, can I tell you what a wonderful thing? Look at what the Bible says over here to 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. While he was still in the trial, he made a vow. Does that rhyme, kind of, maybe? Still in the trial, he made a vow. Look here at 1 Peter chapter 5. He didn't blame God. In 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, that trial made him stronger. Stronger in the faith. And the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, you look down here, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Always remember that. God loves you. Whatever you're going through, God loves you. Give it to God. Amen? Now, I am not a fisherman. I have gone fishing a few times, right? And you think about it as going fishing, right? You have the pole. You have the line that's there. You may put a sinker or whatever that's on there. You have that little hook that's there. And you put, when my dad would take me, again, a few times, put worms on it. Sometimes put bread, cheese. Or we get those little, I don't know, they were like rubber things or whatever that you can hang in, put them in there or whatever. I don't know what they were. And you take it and you cast it out, right? Well, God's not saying here, casting all your care upon him as a fishing thing. Because with fishing, you know what you do? You reel it back in. No, Miss Alma. He's telling you to cut the line and throw it. Keep it to God. Stop trying to bring it back to yourself. And look what he says here. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil's out to destroy you. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. So the reality is you can stay steadfast in the faith. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about putting on the whole armor of God, right? And that shield of faith can block all the fiery darts of the wicked. All of them. There's not one single dart that the devil can throw at you that can get past if you have that shield of faith up. So when you put the shield of faith down, boom, 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 he's got you, right? And look what he tells us, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing, look at this, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Here's Doris over here saying, woe me, I'm going through a trial and no one else know what it's like. What God is saying, I know you're not, but God is saying, but Doris, the same afflictions are being done. Mark's going through one too. And even you're going through one, Mark's going through one. And as Mark's going through one, he's, Alma's going through one. And as Alma's going through one, Rachel's going through one. As Rachel's going through, Barb's going through one, and Dave's going one. And that's what he's saying here, huh? It says, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brother that are in the world. You're going through a trial. He's going through a trial. She's going through a trial. She's going through. I mean, we're all going through trials across the world. Now, you may be going through a trial today, and Mark just got out of a trial. But the reality is, what he's saying is this. The devil's just not just picking on John alone and no one else. But sometimes the devil wants you to think that. You know? Remember, I think it was Elijah. Lord, I'm the only one that hasn't bowed the knee. You know? He's like, Elijah, what are you doing here? Huh? Lord, I'm the only one. And I can't remember if he said, I think it was 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee. And matter of fact, he told Elijah to get up and continue on. And that man of God continued on. He told him what to do, and he continued on. And I forget how many years he lived after that time, amen? It was like he was having this little small violin playing or whatever. And God was saying, hey, but look here at verse 10. It says, but the God of all grace, God will give you grace through your trial, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. There's a reason, a purpose that we can bring glory to God through this trial. Look what he says this. After you have suffered for a while, don't be surprised you do suffer. Don't be surprised you're afflicted, right? Let me ask this serious question to you, right? Serious question. Who here truly would say, I want to grow closer to Jesus? Who here would put up their hand and say, that's me. I want to grow closer to Jesus, right? You can put your hands down. Every single one of you put your hands up. Do you know if you want to grow closer to Jesus, you have to go through suffering to understand that? Right? So the reality is, you think about it, you have a desire to grow closer to Jesus. Well, the reality is, you've got to go through suffering. Why is it? Because they that live godly shall suffer persecution. Paul said that when he was in the book of Philippians chapter 3, that I may know him and the power of his sufferings. Amen. Huh? Folks, can I tell you, it's a wonderful thing when you think about it. We don't think about it that way, right? But look what he says here. After you suffered for a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. That word perfect means to complete thoroughly. Establish to mean to set fast. Strengthen means to make stronger. Settle means to ground. God is allowing the trial to come into your life, and yes, you're going to suffer a little bit, but the reality is this: God has a point. He's going to help you to be thoroughly complete. That thing that's lacking in your life through this trial can help you spiritually. This thing in your life where you are weak, you can come out stronger. I want you to see one more thing. I have other things I can go through, but for sake of time, look over here to the book of Mark. In Mark chapter 6, I'll wind down here soon. In Mark chapter 6, I want you to see one more thing. There's others I can go through. And here in Mark chapter 6, look here at verse 45. Mark chapter 6, verse 45. The Bible tells us this. Mark 6, verse 45. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship. Constrained means compelled, right? He was telling them, he was saying, hey, Mark, you got to get in that boat. I know you want to be here, but you got to get in this boat. God is compelling them, telling them, get in the boat, right? What else do we see? And go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. God gave a command. He compelled them to get in a boat. You got to get in that boat. And you got to go to the other side. This is what God did, right? Our Lord Jesus Christ was sending them. And when he had sent them away, he departed into the mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. So think about this for a second. Doris, he's watching you in the boat, right? With others that are in that boat. He compelled you to get in that boat. And he's watching. He's fully aware what you're going to face. Right. Stay with there. And he saw them toiling and rowing. Mark, he put you in a boat. He compelled you to get in that boat. He told you to go to the other side. And he's standing there watching you toiling and rowing. Do you know what, Mark? You are doing what God asked you to do. Even though it doesn't look like you're getting anywhere. Right? Just like the testimony you just shared. You're thinking, you know, and it's like, wow, you stand back. God has you rowing. Amen? And you feel like you're not getting anywhere. You are doing exactly what God asked you to do. Amen? He goes on and says here, for the wind was contrary unto them. Isn't this world contrary to you and me? The devil trying to go against it. And it says, about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and what had passed by them. Mark, you imagine rowing that boat with a wind that's contrary to you. But you know what the blessing is? They didn't stop. That's what the devil wants you to do. The devil wants you, Mark, to stop rowing that boat. And you'd go back to the place where you started.
And they were there, they just kept on rowing, and even though they were getting tired, they were sweating, the waves were coming up, the wind was blowing, their hat fell off and it blew away. They didn't care, they just kept on rowing and kept on rowing and kept on rowing. God told us to get to the other side, we're just going to go and go and go. And then finally in the fourth watch, this is a period of time, hours have passed, and as Jesus is walking by, and when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and they cried out, and they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And when he would come unto them in the ship, the wind ceased. They were sore afraid in themselves beyond measure and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their hearts were hardened. God put them in a boat to allow them to go into the midst of a storm, to allow them to toil, to have hardship for hours, to ultimately what? To teach them a nice lesson. Because their hearts were hardened from what they've seen. Folks, sometimes in our life, God puts us in a boat. He tells us to do something, and it seems like it's impossible. And we keep on doing it in our own power. And what we need to do is say, "Lord, I'll do my best and row, but I need your help." Amen? Amen. And he came, got on that boat, and they got to the other side. Can I tell you, there is a day coming. Work for the night is coming. Where you won't have to row anymore. Amen? Amen. Because Miss Elmer, you're going to be on the other side. Amen? But till that day comes, you just keep on rowing what God asks you to do. And you keep on asking, "Lord, help me. I need help." But don't stop. You just keep on going. Because through the midst of that trial, God has something for you to learn. God has a will and purpose. David said, this storm, this trial that I went through, didn't take me away from God. No, no, no. It made me stronger. And I vowed a vow to the Lord that I shall keep thy testimonies. Maybe that would be us today. Through whatever we're going through, don't allow it to break you, destroy you. Look to him and say, "Lord, allow him to strengthen you." Father, thank you for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, I pray that this message is a help and a blessing. And Lord, that it will encourage us, help us in our walk with you. And Lord, through those midst of the trials, Lord, that we would continue to row. But Lord, I ask you to help us. Give us safety as we travel home. We ask these things in Jesus, your precious name. Amen.